It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Governor Tom Corbett and his allies in the state legislature have introduced legislation to reform the pension systems for state employees and public school teachers. The sponsors say the bills make necessary cuts to reduce the state's massive liability problem. Unions argue the measures are illegal because they cut current workers' future benefits. 90.5 WESA's Noah Brode takes us back more than a decade to when the pension troubles began.
Think back to the spring of 2001. The Clinton years had just ended, the U.S. economy was on a roll, and September 11th was supposed to be just another Tuesday. At that point, Pennsylvania's pension funds for public employees were not just healthy, they were robust. Here's Jeffrey Clay, who has been at the helm of the public school employees retirement system for nearly 10 years.
Our system was about 123% fully funded, which means we had 23% more than all the liabilities on the books as of a certain date and point in time.
In May, with the pensions flush with cash, the state legislature passed Act 9 of 2001. Clay says, in short, this bill raised benefits for public employees by about 25% in exchange for an increase to employee contributions. Not only did Act 9 increase future benefits, but it also worked retroactively for then-current employees, instantly giving a major boost to the benefits that they'd already earned. The state's pension investments and the bigger employee contributions were predicted to cover the costs. But a few months later, something went very wrong.
We know what happened on September 11th of 2001. And what that did was actually sent a shockwave through the financial markets.
That's Jay Pagney of the governor's budget office. He says the ensuing financial mess led to a steep decline in investment returns for the state's two pension systems. Suddenly, just a few months after committing to much larger pension payouts, the state couldn't rely on its investments to bring in the cash for employees' retirements. When that happens, the employer, in this case the Commonwealth, must make up the difference. That was a problem for Pennsylvania. Feeling fiscal pressure of its own, the state couldn't afford to cover the underperforming investments. In 2002 and 2003, the legislature put constraints on the government's maximum share of pension funding with Act 38 and Act 40. Pagney says legislators were hoping to pay less in anticipation of a market turnaround, which did happen to a degree, but it wasn't enough.
You're artificially underfunding the system. Your market returns aren't keeping up with expectations, and you've increased benefits. So you're creating the perfect storm, if you will, for a pension crisis.
On a line graph, the public school employees' retirement system took a sled ride down a pretty steep hill. The PSERS went from 123% funded in 2000 to an 81% funding level 6 years later. Its little sister, the state employees' retirement system, went along for the ride as well. Things got better for a few years mid-decade, but the Great Recession of 2009 sucker-punched the pension systems, and funding levels were brought low again. That prompted the legislature to pass Act 120 of 2010. Mike Crossey is president of the Teachers Union, the Pennsylvania State Education Association.
Act 120 really took a lot of statesmen on both sides of the aisle to come together and say, okay, if we do this, it will pay off the unfunded liability and secure retirement for generations of public employees to come.
Act 120 did a lot of things to save money. It reduced new employees' benefits to pre-2001 levels. It increased the retirement age to 65. It set a schedule to increase the state's pension contributions. And it required employees to increase their contributions if the plan's investment returns ran low, a practice known as shared risk. So where are we now? Well, the public schools pension system is funded 69%, while the state employees system is at just 59%, both below where they were at the worst of the recession. Governor Corbett's office has introduced legislation to reform the pension systems in three ways. First, it changes new employees' benefits to a defined contribution plan. Second, it slows down the yearly increase to the state's contributions to the pension. And perhaps most contentiously, the governor's plan reduces the future benefits of current employees. Teachers Union President Mike Crossey argues that it violates the state constitution to break the contract of state employees by lowering their benefits.
Anybody that has a contract with their employer, in the middle of the contract, you can't change it. That is a commitment the state must pay. Article 1, Section 17 of the state constitution says that no ex post facto law can, that abridges the rights of a contract may be passed. And that just shocks me that this governor, who used to be the attorney general, is so willing to violate state law.
On the other hand, Governor Corbett argues that the reform package is not only legal but also necessary to avoid budget cuts elsewhere due to higher pension payments.
The process of the law that is out there has been based upon retroactivity to the benefits. This was what we're doing here is prospective activity to the benefits. And there is a maxim, I guess is the word that I want to use, out there that you have to look in some cases for the benefit of the greater good of the greater state.
In fact, the administration incorporated the projected savings of the governor's pension reform plan into his budget proposal for the fiscal year beginning July 1st. So, at what level should the state's two pension systems be funded? Public school employees pension director Jeff Clay says the systems don't necessarily need to be at 100% funding as long as you're aiming for that goal.
We achieved that back in the late 90s. I think it was 96, 97, and we started in 1917. So from 1917 to that 97 time frame, we were not at 100% funding, which is okay because, again, the system was being funded correctly.
Clay says that means all three legs of the stool were carrying their own weight: the investments, the employee contributions, and the state. He says the artificially suppressed state payments of the 2000s brought about these unhealthy funding levels now.
With the governor's proposal, the underfunding continues, and if the governor's proposal is in place, it will actually aggravate that slightly.
So things will get worse before they get better?
That is correct.
With unions, Democrats, and some Republicans staunchly opposed to the governor's pension reform proposals, the administration has its work cut out to garner enough support in the legislature to pass the overhaul before the budget is due June 30th. For its part, the teachers' union says the state should instead stick with the reforms made in 2010 and make up for rising state pension payments with the closure of business tax loopholes. I'm Noah Brode, 90.5 WESA News.